Civico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. It's too late now, boys. Nonetheless, it's nice to be with you. We're here every night, Monday through Friday. We're also online at philhendryshow.com with Phil TV and HD, which is our live video cast of each and every single solitary live show that we do. And we have as well philhendryradio.com, where you can download our podcast. It's free. You go over to philhendryshow.com, and it's a backstage pass, which affords you thousands of hours of great audio. Philhendryradio.com is a free site. We have 24/7 streaming material from our archives. We also have our podcast there, though, there for you to listen to and to get a sense, get a taste, get a feel for the show. And perhaps I shouldn't use that word taste as we... As we pick through the news today, day two after one of the most horrific bits of news that any of us have ever encountered. In its own way, it's probably more traumatic than anything you could possibly imagine. Even the attacks of 9/11 had their own horror. But this thing that happened in Miami is something right out of. Well, it's something right out of a psycho thriller of some kind, because it's real, and it involves mental illness, it involves homelessness, it involves being defenseless, it involves being defenseless both as a victim and also as the perpetrator. We're finding out is a man that could well have been either psychotic or. And I'm not excusing this. He might have been under the influence of a hallucinogen called bath salts, which. Excuse me for being stupid, but and I don't think I'm alone here, but I think there were a lot of people who thought, can you take bath salts and like process it into a hallucinogenic? I didn't know that, but that's the way I was thinking. It's silly, but nonetheless, it is true. And this has affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways. It's a national story. Joining us on the line from Corona, California, is Stephen Bozell, whose family... is his wife, his daughter, his son. They have been following this news as well. Steve, thanks for joining us as just a guy out there. And you and I are both here in California. Is there something about this crime that seems specifically East Coast?
I have to say that I'm listening to a little bit to the commentary, and this is completely out of my experience. And you just said it very well. It's the kind of crime that you would think could be made up in that Hannibal Lecter or some sort of thing like that, but you never think that the sort of things is going to happen.
And yet, you know, with all the vastly improved communication and the need for news, we have, as I've often said, we have a million different ways of delivering information now, but there isn't a whole hell of a lot that people have to say. So what's happening is they're just news, the delivery of news has become almost indiscriminate. And I'm not saying that they should report things like this, but it does become national.
Well, I think you made a good point a while back, Phil, when you said that now a neighborhood prank becomes a cause for national news because we think there's something wrong with our children. I think it was...
I think that was a story about an outhouse.
Yeah, there was an outhouse that had been turned over, and a kid was inside it. And it's just a neighborhood prank, but that made the national news because today we take everything as some sign that the society is falling apart. I think that this one particular crime, though, has thrown me off.
And in what way?
I don't know. It has caused me concern as to the state of mental health, of drug use, and just what's going on. And it's thrown me off.
And when you say it's thrown you off, what do you mean? Is it tough to work?
Well, it's tough to concentrate. I was thinking of this thing all this particular crime all day long, and I had mentioned to. Jerry, who is our executive secretary, that I was concerned about this guy in Miami who'd eaten the guy's face, and she said to me that she'd heard the story. When I mentioned it to her again just after lunch, she started to act, I think, a little, you know, a little rude.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she just didn't want to listen to me. I wanted to talk to her, and I went over and I talked to Cliff, who's on our crew. I tried to talk to, and I tried to communicate to as many people as I could what's going on and what's going down. And you don't really get the understanding, because I think everybody's processing it differently.
We're talking with Steve Buzzell about the Miami. They're calling it the Miami Cannibal case. What do you think of that?
I think that it's what that, I mean, that's what it is. And
well, I mean, a cannibal is someone that consciously eats human flesh for, you know, in the last organized cannibal societies that I ever heard of were in the South Pacific for a way of absorbing the bravery of their opponent. You know, it was almost like a spiritual thing.
I don't know. You know, the cannibal is someone that eats flesh. We've had, you mentioned walking, these stupid shows, Walking Dead. I need to get myself together, and I don't know what kind of individuals are running around and what we're going to do about it. I know that I'm being manipulated by the news media. You mentioned cannibal. You mentioned I'm being forced into thinking a certain way that, you know, this is a zombie attack. And I know that that's happening to me, and I resent it because I do believe it. And as a result, I need to get my head together. And I think a lot of American men are going to be feeling the same way, or a lot of Americans are going to be feeling the same way.
All right, we're talking with Steven Buzzell from Corona, a father and a business owner, about the Miami attack. When you say that you need to get your head together because you've been manipulated, but you know you're being manipulated, if you know you're being manipulated, why don't you stop being manipulated? You know what I mean?
I am. Whenever I know it, and I know what I'm being manipulated, I can look at a newspaper headline and I can see Miami cannibal story. And I will say, that's them trying to manipulate me, and they have. Now, I'm scared, okay? If you check it out, it's really interesting, and I would encourage your audience members to check it out. Check out what's happening to you. They say Miami cannibal, and then you get scared. You know you're being manipulated, and now you're scared because you have been manipulated. And then the next thought is you need to get your head together. And I don't know too many people that are going to take the steps that I'm taking, which is to get out of town and just get off by myself so I can process this information. I've got a wife and I've got two children that I love very, very much. But I've got to get out of here, because I'm afraid that this kind of thing may happen again. I don't know where, and I need to process this. I need to know, how am I being manipulated? Why am I still being manipulated when I know I am? And I also need to get clear of the major urban area that I live in, so I'm not, this doesn't happen to me. And so I need to process all of this, and the only way I can do that, I've got a friend who has a lot.
Just to interrupt you, Steve, you're looking to leave alone or with your family?
No, I have to leave alone. I've got to get away. I'd take them with me, but I don't have right now. We don't have the funds to take the whole family. I need to get out and process this. I wish I could afford to take my wife and my kids. I need to leave them back in L.A., and I got to get out of there, because if this is some kind of a...
Look, you know, you're sounding almost like you believe in some massive zombie attack.
No, I don't believe that. What I'm saying is, sir, if there's a drug, they said there's a drug, they're using a drug, you know, and there's other incidences of this. I'm not saying I don't believe there's zombies, although I do get scared of it, because I've been manipulated. I can't explain it. I wish I could make the words come out the way I need them to come out, because...
What I'm hearing you say is that you're very frightened by the event that happened in Miami.
Yes, sir.
All right, and you are being further frightened by the news media. You know you're being manipulated by them, but you're still letting it happen somehow, and so you need to leave town?
I need to get... I think when you say I need to leave town, it makes me sound like I'm some kind of a, you know, as we used to say in school, a CS. You know, a chicken...
Okay.
I'm not a CS. I just need to get out and process this at my friend's, who lives up, he's got a lodge up in Ontario, Canada. You've asked me if I'm going to take my family. I know it makes me sound like I don't have no guts, but I can't afford to take them too, is all I'm saying. And I know what that makes me sound like, but I'm not that.
Well, if you're not taking your family because you can't afford it, but you can afford to send yourself, why wouldn't you send your family?
Well, I can't afford to send all of them. So I'm going myself. I know it's
like you're saving yourself.
Somebody has to be saved. I mean, if this were to happen, someone would have to be saved. It makes more sense that I be saved, and I don't want anything to happen to my family.
I understand that.
But I need to get my head together because they're handling it better than me. And that's the only thing I can say about it.
All right, so this is not about you being saved. You need to get your head together, because your family, which is your son, Stephen, you got your daughter and your wife, they're handling this better than you. You're in need of some...
Yeah.
Well, what about medication? What about hospitalization?
No, I'm not. No, sir, I'm not crazy. I just need to process what to do if this gets bigger than it is right now.
All right, let's talk on the other side of our break. Stephen Bozell is our guest as he talks about how frightening the Miami cannibal attack was to him. So frightening that he feels the need to leave town, to get away from the city that he lives in, and process this, get his head together, and calm down. His wife and kids remain at home. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. With us is Steve Bozell from Corona, California. And we're going to be talking as well, I think, later on in this hour with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, about the attack in Miami. Very gruesome, extremely traumatic to read about. And the first thing that I think everybody feels for the victim. And Steve, what was your first reaction when you heard this story?
I want to say that I felt for the victim. I did. I was also, the first thought was that I need to get to a place. Your first thought is to get to a place of safety. I'm not saying that there's that this is going to happen to me. I mean, that was in Miami, but your first reaction, obviously, is to get to a place of safety. And that's why I felt that I needed, and I do need to get to Ontario. My family will be here. I feel really in my bones they'll be okay.
So the first thought you had wasn't for the victim, it was for yourself.
No, Mr. Hendry, I.
Well, I mean, that's what you're saying. I'm not judging you, but...
No, sir, that is not what I... No. My first thought was for the safety of that man, but I also thought of him... I saw myself in him. I saw myself in that man. And that troubled me...
All right, let me take a phone call, because I know there's an awful lot that you're processing here. 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Stephen Bozell about the Miami, so-called Miami cannibal attack. Here is Trey. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Trey, go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know this isn't the first time something like that has happened that's been drug-related. Back, I read this about a year ago, and it was a few years back when this happened. I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, I read it a year ago, so I might not have the whole story in my mind anymore, but a guy was on PCP and broke into this girl's house, raped her, and then proceeded to eat her face and part of her lungs, and then the police found him naked running down the street shouting at the sky.
That's messed up. Steve?
Yeah, he was on PCP.
I'm not aware of that story. You say it was on PCP. What city? Do you know the city that that gentleman was in, sir?
I have no clue. You can Google it, though. It's out there.
Because this is what I was saying about this being more than one time.
But when you say more than one time, it's not an epidemic, though.
Oh, no, like this was years back when it happened.
Right.
Okay, sir, this is Steve Ozell. When you say years back and it was influenced by drugs, it is possible that if someone is using PCP or any other kind of sedative hypnotic, of course, PCP is also a stimulant, that you can... you've heard, too, about how these people take their clothes off. And probably because...
I think they do that because they get warm. I think the body's temperature or something, or the blood pressure goes up, and they strip their clothes off.
Okay, but what was the other guy? His clothes was off. And my fear was that it was some kind of a gay... If it was a gay encounter that went wrong... So, I think...
Yeah. Let me ask you, Trey, do you ever feel frightened enough to leave the city and go someplace else to be safe?
No, not at all.
That makes me sound, Mr. Henry, like I'm...
Well, but isn't that what you're doing?
I'm doing it. I want to process it. All I'm saying is, this gentleman brought up one case where a man ate a woman's face. You had a man get his face eaten in Miami. That's too many for me. And I think a normal, prudent response would be for me to check flights out of Los Angeles.
Even though this took place in Miami?
Yes, sir.
All right, Trey. Thanks for your call, sir.
What happens in Ontario?
Did you hear that, Steve?
What's that?
What if it happens in Ontario, Canada?
If it happens in Ontario, Canada, where I'm going to be in Ontario, though, sir, is away from the major metropolitan area. Are you saying it would happen in the wooded area, in the woods, something? That's where I'm...
Hey, drug users can wander around anywhere, right?
That's right.
Well, you see, what I'm trying to do is get away from it and process it so when I come back to my family, I can feel like a man for the first time and not be scared.
It sounds but more if like you need to go to a deserted island or something where there's not going to be any chance of anybody coming around.
I know that this makes me sound as if I...
It sounds a little cowardly, sir.
Excuse me, sir, but I would fight to the death for my family.
Then why are you going to Ontario to a lodge far away from everything?
I need to process what's going on. Don't you feel that a guy eating someone's face is something you need to process? It is for me.
It's a guy who was nuts on drugs, who committed a heinous crime. Cops see it every day. It's sick. It's messed up. It's part of our urban environment today. The drug use is out of control. We have to get help for these people. That's what happened.
And if this guy finds me, like this gentleman says, in the woods of Ontario, and I get my face, you know, removed at a fishing lodge, think about that.
All right. Trey, thank you, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are talking with Stephen Bozell. When you say at a fishing lodge, Steve...
That's where I'm going to be. That's what I've told my wife and my children, that I would be there. I don't want them to bother me, and I know when I told your producer that, he immediately came back with what I thought was not a very, I thought it was very rude. For you. He said, are you just going to go up there and cry and hide? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I'm going up there to get to process it and get my head together. And if you can sit there with news about a man who decides that the best thing for him to have for lunch, and I'm being funny, but or I'm trying to be, and I don't think I am funny, but or at least not now, I don't feel like it, but the best thing he can think of for a late afternoon snack is to go ahead and have face. I don't think any of that, Mr. Henry, is anything you think about. I think you look for a place to go where you can process
All right. Well, the word process sounds a little bit like, you know, you're afraid. Stephen Bozell reacting. This man is reacting to the crime in Miami by leaving his family and going somewhere far away to get away from what he thinks could be an epidemic of this kind of violence. 877-877. I don't know how you leave your family if you're worried about something like that. 877-876-7445. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Bad guys, you're having faith.
Phil Henry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we're discussing with him this, with him as a father and as a husband, and there's others. We're going to have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on with us later. Talking about this attack in Miami, this vicious, horrific attack that, What do we got there? Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I just had a slight technical problem. Stephen, I didn't mean to leave you in the lurch there, sir.
All right.
We're going to take some phone calls, but the last comment we had was from someone saying that, you got to go to a desert island.
No. What I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to educate your listeners as well as you, Mr. Andrew, what I'm trying to educate you is there's a difference between being processing it from a safe distance.
What about your family?
Okay, well, hold on. There's a difference between processing from a safe distance an event that is seems to be from a dream world but is real, and that is a man who's decided to eat another man. And that happened on a causeway in Miami, sir.
But what about your family? When you say processing from a safe distance...
See, again, this is the manipulation of the media. When they are telling me there's cannibal killers, and now you come along and you talk to me about my family. And you can talk to me about my family all you want, sir. But I know that the media has made it worse, not better. They come on and say there's a cannibal killer, or they go. They say, the zombies are loose, or however they say it. And you come on and you ask me about, if I'm going to man up. And all of this is a manipulation of the media, which is that's why I need to process and get my head together, because it's a shower of it's a shower of BS.
And no, I don't think it's a shower of BS to ask that question, what about your family? 877-876-PHIL, because you are leaving, you want to leave town and get to a safe distance, but the family, your wife, your son, your daughter, are still here. Here is Robert on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? How's it going?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi. My dad, who's my greatest hero right now, throughout my life, really. He told me something when I was growing up, and obviously my voice, you could tell that I'm not very old. I'm 24. I own my own business. I'm in Newport Beach, but he told me that being a man, it's not your age. I'm sorry?
You're in Newport Beach where, sir? Is that
Newport
in California?
Beach, in California, yeah. So,
okay.
Maybe an hour away from you.
Okay.
You're up in Corona, so I'm right down in Newport Beach. But,
says,
being a man really isn't the fact of being your age, society puts a thing on being an adult, and adult is, what your age is, 21, 18, whatever it may be. But he said that being a man is the difference of, standing up to fear, to stand up to your problems. When you come to that brick wall, to break through it, you may not always be able to do it by yourself, but, with the support of your family, in your case. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do by any means at all, because, you have children and you experience a love that I, right now do not know. He said, with the experience of your family...
You talked about your father, and now you do not know the love. Well, I don't understand that. See, this is what scares me.
Yep.
And he doesn't have a family as you do. He's talking about he loves his father, but he's not yet a father himself.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
So you don't think that it's a viable fact that being a man is actually standing up for your family? In the worst-case scenario, you're going to be there. You're going to be the head of that family and lead them through the darkest of times. Even if you think that maybe, like, two incidences is the darkest of times, you're saying that you will leave?
Well, yes, son, but I don't mean to call you son. I mean, I realize you're
a man. Yeah, I know, that's fine. We're being
talked about. And in a lot of ways, you're more, you know, you own your own business at 24.
I'm a U.S. government.
See, that's again, and I have to ask Mr. Andrews, do you know who this man is, sir?
Who's that?
The gentleman on the phone.
No, I don't know this gentleman.
Because this... I wondered if Mr. Henry had set this call up, because you owning your own business at 24, that doesn't, that makes
that
me
doesn't
feel like
sound
even,
right, because
I feel like less of a man. I don't feel like,
sounds right?
No, I'm saying I feel like even less of a man now that you have your own business.
I'm a young man. You feel less
Look at Steve, you have said you want to leave town to process all of this stuff. You're leaving your family behind. You're challenged and you're, you know, feeling fear to this young man who has his own business. What's going on with you?
What is going on with me, sir, is a guy ate face in Miami. And both of you gentlemen think it's just another day at this beach.
No, I don't.
That's exactly not it at all. The grim reality is that someone got obviously a bad batch of drugs, you know, and I don't...
Or whatever. I mean, we don't know.
We
don't know what happened, you know. Well, yeah, but we don't know what happened. He might have had a bad batch. The guy might be psycho. But you're right. You're right. There's something happened that caused... Yes, there's something happened that caused a psychotic event.
And that's why I need to process it. That's why I need to get it out of town as fast as I can.
And leave your family here. And that's the thing that is causing me some consternation. And I would say that your father was absolutely right, Robert, when he said that, you know, I heard it said, Mark Twain said it. It's not getting rid of fear. It's not being afraid. It's challenging fear and overcoming it, which I think is
correct.
What your dad was saying.
I said it poorly, of course.
No, you said it you said it better than I quoted Mark Twain. Maybe if we had Mark Twain here.
Mr. Andrew, can you... You're talking to this young man like I don't even exist.
I was just complimenting his father, him on his father's tuition of him, of his education of this young man. I think it's a... Thank God we have fathers like that. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. But are you saying that I'm not one of them?
I'm saying
no,
you could be.
That.
I'm saying at this particular time, I want to know why it is you want to leave your children and your wife, though.
Well, that makes me some kind of a chicken.
You know what, Steve? Robert, thank you for your call. I appreciate it, man.
Thank
good
you
call.
For your time.
877.
Bye-bye.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go here to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell.
But I want to follow up.
Yes, sir.
Just responding off what the last caller, Robert, said, you know. Just all in all, just listening, I just wanted to make one little comment. You know, I'm a trucker, and I travel all across the nation. You know, after hearing that incident about the guy getting his face ate off, in no way, shape, or form did I feel that my family was in harm up in Ohio. And the same thing after the Jeffrey Dahmer, another cannibal,
Yeah.
Now,
that's a good point.
Did the caller, did he up and move away after that happened? Or, I mean, what, is he just finding a different...
when the Jeffrey Dahmer incident happened, I delayed. I was engaged to be married, and we delayed the engagement because I felt I didn't know what was going to happen. And
wait, you delayed what?
I'm sorry, I said delayed. We delayed the marriage. I was engaged, and we had a scheduled marriage. If you remember, the Dahmer incident happened sometime in September of, I think it was 91, and I, or 90, and we were supposed to be married that month, and I put it off because I needed to check that out. What's going on with that?
So the answer... Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I don't think it's the cannibal thing is the issue. I think there's an underlying issue that he has to deal with
And I just think he, in my own opinion, that he's using this, you know, as a cover-up for another issue. Like I said, well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, sir. Drive carefully. Yeah, drive carefully, too. That's Joe. All right, so there's a couple of opinions that essentially...
Well, what they're essentially saying is that I don't have the, you know, I don't have the sand, and I anticipated that because, again, the media manipulation that's gone on, for me to walk by a newsstand and I see zombies on the loose, or they don't...
There's no headline that says that.
No, I know that, but that's what I see because of the manipulation. But I thank God, Mr. Henry, I'm above intelligence, or I'm above the intelligence. How do you?
You're above average.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry that I know I'm being manipulated when I see a headline like that, and also I know I'm being manipulated as I am being manipulated. Now, when Jeffrey Dahmer was on the loose and was, you know, the horrible things that he did, he had bats. Full of all kinds of human organs, and was out in public, you know, eating this stuff or whatever he was doing.
No, he wasn't. He was in his apartment.
Okay, that was when April and I were going to get married, and I postponed the marriage. I walked in the middle of the reception hall. They were decorating the reception hall, and I'd seen the news, and I was stunned. And I was so stunned that I remember I'd seen the news about this man in Milwaukee, and he was eating God knows how many boys, and I remember being so stunned that I drove, and I really didn't know where I was going, but I found myself driving to the reception hall where April and her mother and her sisters and friends were decorating the reception hall. And I walked in, and I said to them, are you having a good time? And they said, yeah. And I said, really enjoying what you're doing? They said, yeah. I said, well, guess what? It's off.
And so you walked in there and were a big party pooper. You just...
I didn't mean to be, but I had to say to them, I thought I was trying to soften the blow, but I guess I wasn't.
No, I'd say that you weren't. I'd say that what you did to them, what you did to your wife-to-be, was probably disappointed the living hell out of her. You know, I actually know somebody that happened to, a good friend of mine, and they were two very good friends of mine. And she, but at the time, it's a long story. So go ahead.
No, I want to hear it.
No, I don't want to tell you the story. So go ahead.
I got back in my car after I told April it's off, and I got back in my car, and I drove and drove. I must have drove for hours. And she finally reached me at a, I had stopped up here in Tracy in Northern California. Or actually, no, I was in Tennessee at the time, so I don't know where. But I had stopped and to get the onion roll they got at that one place. I think it's called Hague's Ranch. Do you know the place, Phil?
No, I don't know the place. I don't really know where you're going here.
They've got an onion loaf.
I don't give a damn if they got an onion loaf. I'm asking you what this has to do. The Jeffrey Dahmer thing stunned you?
Yes, sir, it did. It stunned me and it hurt me. And you can hear my voice. You know, I'm trying to tell you, I'm a man. I'm a man like any other man. And I thought I'd come on your program to say that I'm a man. And all that's happened is I've had other guys call up, and they're more man than me, and one of them was 24, and he runs a lemonade stand or something, and he's got it hanging lower and heavier and deeper. He's got 9 pounds of...
Okay, hold on. Let's take a break, because this is a caller who's, you know, there's all kinds of mental illness. Some of it may just be a slight neurosis. I think that's what we have here. Although this guy is allowing himself to be driven out of town from the fear of what happened in Miami and leaving his family here. And he doesn't see that as anything other than what it is. A real act of cowardice. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we will be right back right after this. Jay Santos coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us here is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. We will have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in a moment to talk further about the incident in Miami. Very gruesome. During our pre-show, we showed the some of the coverage from one of the national, I believe it was actually a British newspaper, and as you well might imagine, Miami news is important in Great Britain because there's a lot of people that vacation in South Florida. And the coverage that they gave to this was extensive. They showed as much as they could of the crime scene, and it was just horrible. We're talking with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, and his fear that this could be some sort of an epidemic. He's decided to leave town.
Right, yeah, and sir, you know, Mr. Andy,
I'm not interrupting you, sir. I just want to finish this. Decide to leave town to process this.
Yes, sir, and what has happened, I think, is people have misunderstood, and they think that I've got no, you know, if I can say that I got no balls.
Well, I don't think you've made a very good case in the other direction. I'm not necessarily believing that that's true about you. Okay, let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. This is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm here. Steve,
you're on the air.
Not to disrespect you in any way about your manhood. Everybody has different levels of manhood. What I think you should do is just, if you're going to leave your family behind, then go ahead and do it. Stop keeping them lingering, because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go, or I'm going to go. Just go ahead and go. So the people can start.
Well, but you're making it sound like I'm some kind of a CS because you went, because of the way you said
I'm
that.
Not.
Huh?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get you to understand that you just need to go ahead and do it, because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there keeping them in limbo. Well, at least if you make the move to decide to go ahead and leave, well, then at least they can begin the healing process.
Why don't you do that, Steve? Why don't you just go ahead?
Well, what do you mean by a healing process? So my wife goes out and finds some other... What are you talking about?
That's her choice. That's her choice. You chose to leave. She chose to find something else.
Oh, boy. No, that's not why. I'm not saying to her that she gets to go out and go to, you know, go to the barnyard dance or whatever she's going to do. I'm just saying I need to process. See, this is why people are misunderstanding me, Phil. And
well, Steve, the effect of
it. I'm just saying, just do it. Just go ahead and make the move. What happens?
Yeah, but you're saying that when I make the move, that my wife is free to go to the borderline and dance with every guy.
No, you said that. I didn't say that. I said if you're going to make the move, let the healing process begin. Let her pain heal, because obviously you're hurting them by just keeping them in limbo by saying, yes, I want to go, but you know what? Let's go ahead and put it on the media,
I do.
On the radio show, and let's do this, that, and the other. So everybody
can talk
about it instead of making the move.
Yeah, that's right. You got your stuff out in public here.
You know, Mr. Hendry, I'm having a hard time deciding. The last couple of days, I've asked my family to weigh in. Should I leave? Should I not?
And you're asking your family to weigh in on you.
You know, and I'm
limbo.
What am I supposed to?
What are you afraid is going to happen, man?
I'm going to get attacked, or there's some kind of. I don't know what this is. I don't think any of us do.
I know what it is. It's another crazy ass who was either on some psychosis-inducing drug or psychotic himself. It's an unbelievably unacceptable thing. Nonetheless, the result
bad
of
parenting.
Mental illness. Maybe bad parenting. You know, I doubt that. I mean, I think the guy's passed, you know.
Okay, well, that guy's making a joke. And you. Why are you guys so relaxed about it?
Well,
what is it with you?
We're not keeping our family in limbo. You are. You need to get out and let them start healing either way.
Well, I would have to ask you at this time, sir. Do you live in... Do you live in the Los Angeles area, sir?
I live in Fresno.
Okay. See, you know, I leave town and you're going to come swooping in and you're going to, you know... You're going to come down and hit on my old lady?
No, man, he's not talking about that. He's talking about get this thing moving along. You're going to do one thing or the other, because then people can make decisions. I appreciate your call very much, sir. It's Joe, right? Joe? Thank you. Our number, 877-876-7445. This is Orlando on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Orlando.
Well, thing is I can't understand what the confusion is. I mean, I have kids, no wife, of course, but I do have my kids.
Well, the last thing you want is
I couldn't see or imagine something happening that bothered me, worried me enough that I would leave, but I would leave my children.
Right.
Well,
nothing
not leaving.
In this world would make me leave my children.
What about a guy, okay, what about a guy eating your face and you're nude? What about you nude? God.
What is that? What kind of a question is that? What kind of a question?
What happened to that guy? That guy was nude, and he and his face is gone. Now, if that's going to happen to you, I'd take my chances in the woods of Ontario.
Well, you know what? They may find you up there, too, Steve. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police coming up as we talk further about the Miami incident. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
God, man.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, very unfair. Very unfair.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know, tomorrow is episode 4 of the free Phil Henry podcast. Go to our homepage, philhenryshow.com, and that will link you directly to the site that hosts our podcast. And we've got 4 of them now. Starting tomorrow, we'll have 4. We've got 3 online already, and they're absolutely free. Of course, our subscription site is philhenryshow.com. We've got a family of Backstage Pass members that are watching the broadcast right now, watching our telecast right now, our webcast, weighing in, offering critique and commentary and so forth. And you can be a part of that just by getting a Backstage Pass and also access all of our archival material as well as other archive material like other video casts, our news comment feed. And other features that from time to time come up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So join us over there with a Backstage Pass at philhenryshow.com. We have with us tonight in this second hour, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I had moments ago, Jay, I know you're at LAX, right?
Right now, that's Brett. We're at Los Angeles International Airport, and we're going to be boarding a plane here, a Delta Airlines flight, very shortly, taking us to Miami. We're hopeful, Phil, that we can be of some assistance to our sister agency in Florida, which is the Gator Brigade, and individuals lie there.
What would a volunteer or auxiliary police force be doing right now in Miami? The police seem to have this under control.
Well, when you say that the police have it under control, it's always a matter of opinion. It's always a matter of relevancy as to whether or not the police do have as good a handle on a situation as the, you know, you hope that they do have. I am second to none in my admiration for our local police, but there were some disturbing indications early on. And again, when it was still a developing story and it was still very fluid. And I'm not saying it's fluid now, but it was fluid, you know, probably back when it was fluid. I mean, which was...
yesterday.
That's correct. When it was taking place, and it was still developing, it was still very fluid. We did see some things that were troubling to us.
All right. As I understand it, Jay, you've been on the show before, and I know you're a very community-minded guy, but as I understand it, community-minded though you may be, you're not an official police force. You're not a...
We always have this discussion, Phil, don't we?
Well, yes, we do, because you're not a... You're a volunteer police agency.
Well, I think to call us volunteer, I think, is a misnomer. I think it does a disservice to the several sub-commanders that we have working with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. So these are dedicated individuals who use their off time, that is correct, to help reinforce, not to subvert, not to replace, but to reinforce the good work that's done by local police agencies. So I think that's a little bit of a disservice to them.
All right, but they're not paid.
No, they're not paid, but I think, say, that volunteer makes it sound like it's something the Red Cross is running. I can assure you, Mr. Henry, that when we're up against it, we've had to go to our three-step drop. We've had to go to the use of physical restraint and so forth. So when it comes down to it, you know, we're ready to rock and roll. And in this situation, it may not require that.
Well, all right, let's talk about this. And our number, folks, is 877-876-PHIL. We are talking now with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on this incident in Miami. Now, I want to talk to you about the Miami law enforcement response to this, which was I'm just a civilian here. But I don't think that I am speaking out of turn when I say that a lot of people, myself included, believe that the Miami police reacted quickly. They reacted with appropriate deadly force, and they...
I'm not saying that the deadly force was not appropriate, Phil. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, time and time again, with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, we, time and time again, I always see this, where the police overreact. The use of deadly force, there's a lot of different ways you can use deadly force. You can use deadly force using a gun. In the instance of this police officer in Miami that came to the aid of Mr. Papo, police officer, my understanding, just going by the news reports, police officer said to this Mr. Eugene, stop it, use some kind of command language. To get this man to back off.
Well, isn't that what a police officers are trained to do?
That is exactly right. You use your command voice, you use your authoritative tone to get them to stop. Then, if that doesn't work, then you go to the B move, which is then you now... It's called the intercession. You will now proceed to the intercession. You take two steps forward, and what we've trained our sub commanders is you take two steps forward, leading with the left foot. You lock the left arm around the throat. You lift the individual off the ground, and you basically put the command right into their ear. You've got the ear right there, and you say, "I said, back off." Okay.
Well, wait. You've just pulled this guy away from the guy.
Well, that's correct.
There's a lot of stuff.
Can I just finish this, Phil, and you can ask me any question you got? But I just want to go through. I want to go speed. There's step B and step C. And I need to get through those.
Okay, go ahead.
So you put your arm around the man's throat, lift him off the ground, and some people said you whisper. And I'm not saying whisper, but you get right into his ear and you say, "I said back off." Use, you know, command voice. You're not yelling. It could be a whisper because you're that close to his ear and you don't want some lawsuit because you blew his eardrum out. But you do want to say to him...
I've got to interrupt you.
Philip.
Oh, I just got to interrupt you. This is a guy that is so out of control that he has chewed the face off of a man. Now, police officers all over America have experience, or they have the experience of other police officers dealing with individuals on drugs who have exhibited enormous strength.
That's correct.
Okay, hold on. And that some of them have broken handcuffs. We know that some of them have driven their heads right through the windshields of police cars. Everything you can possibly imagine. And you're asking this officer to intercede.
It's a difference, Phil. Either you have well-trained police, and our Citizens Auxiliary Police, we train for this kind of thing. We're not all gun happy, and it's probably, you know, we don't use guns. We don't use deadly force like that. You know, I train, our guys are trained to come up behind an individual, to step A is to headlock and lift. Step B is the command voice into the ear. Step C is then you have to go to deadly force. And that's a very easy step. You grab the top of the head. You have that arm around the throat. You grab the top of the head with the right hand and twist. And essentially what you're doing is you are then at that time then rendering that individual. He is not going to have no, you know, he's...
Are you breaking his neck?
That is correct. Yes, sir. That is correct.
Why not shoot him?
Because you want to get him off. Didn't that police officer say, stop, 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 and the guy didn't stop? So our officers are trained to say, stop, and then intercession, what we call the intercession. You go in with the arm and...
This intercession, meaning you're physically asserting or you're physically interacting with this person.
That's correct.
Okay, and you're grabbing this guy by the throat.
You're not grabbing, you're putting your arm...
All right, I know, you're locking your arm around the throat. You're pulling him up off of the individual. What happens if you cannot pull him up off the individual?
You continue to yank, because sooner or later, you are going to affect something. If you have that man around the throat and you're pulling and he doesn't move, which I don't see how that could, you know, that's sort of ridiculous. I mean, the guy's going to have to move. But, you know, he...
Well, there's like I said, some of these people exhibit superhuman strength.
All right, Mr. Andrew, we're not talking about Incredible Hulk. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Because I think, you know, obviously you're not.
No, of course I'm not.
All right, so what we're talking about here is a human. And if you can't get him off the ground, you continue to yank up, yank up, yank up. Sooner or later, you're going to dislocate the vertebrae in the neck, and that's going to be a matter. You can pull his head right off, see? And he won't even feel it because a lot of these freaks, and that's what they are. They're just freaks of nature. Some of these drugged-out freaks and these hopheads, they don't feel anything. You could pull their head right off their shoulders, and they'd die with a smile on their face. And we have seen instances of that. And we have seen that, and it's horrible to see an individual, a torso, and a head at a crime scene, and the head, and I've had a couple laughs over this with Subcommander Police, Subcommander Johnson, you say, you know, look at that head, and the head's got a smile on it. And
well, what's that from? You're telling me the guy died with a smile on his face.
He's hopped up. He's hopped up on some kind of sneaky Pete medication. So that's what we're saying, and I think the Miami police have got, there's going to be probably some questions asked.
It's hard for me to find anything wrong with what that officer did. That one lone officer, he came upon this, he told the guy twice, and he fired, and he killed a sucker, and I wish he would have gotten there sooner.
Well, I think we would have been there sooner, but...
Well, you can't say that. 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who is flying to Miami tonight. He's at Los Angeles International Airport, flying to Miami to join up with another auxiliary Florida-based police force to see what they can do to assist in this horrific crime in Miami. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Get off. He pull his head off, he's going to be, he'll have a smile on his face.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we continue talking about this horrifying crime in Miami, which was the so-called cannibal killer. And we don't want to spend too much time, but tonight we thought we'd take a couple of hours. We did have in the first hour, Mr. Bozell. So, Jay, what you're saying is that you would not have done what that Miami police officer did.
No, absolutely not, Phil. With all due respect to the Miami police, you know, it was not the way, you know, the guy jumped out of his car, he's yelling at the guy, and then he put five bullets in the guy, and I think there's going to be a situation where you're going to have to answer to the, you know, police commissioner or whoever it is, hey, why'd you shoot the guy five times? And so,
do you really think there's going to be some kind of a citizen's inquiry in why that guy shot that guy?
I think when you're talking about standing there with your service revolver and boom, 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 and that was, I don't know how many shots that was.
You said five shots.
I'm sorry, yeah, so it's boom, 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 It would be.
It's five shots.
Right, but I mean, it's boom, boom. I'm trying to, from the standpoint of the police officer.
All right, so what's the point with the boom, boom?
From the standpoint, what I'm saying was from a standpoint, a police officer got out of his, out of his truck or whatever he's driving, and
out of his radio car. He was in a cruiser.
All right, so he got out of a police cruiser, and you know, so he says this. Get off him. I said, get off him. Cut it out. Then, boom, 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 boom. Or I don't know how many that is. God.
Jay, trust me.
But the reason why it's important, Phil, is how much time did it take him to do that as opposed to if Jay Santos was standing there? If Jay Santos was standing there, let's say I pull up in a Citizens Auxiliary Police Cruiser. And let's say Miami Police pull up. And there's two, let's say there's two people equally. They're doing everything the same. They're both chewing. I mean, I hate to say it, but there's two, if there was two guys that are eating the guy's face, and it just so happened to be on the causeway. And
okay, you know, we don't need this whole harangue. So in other words, how would you deal with it?
It's not a harangue, Phil. I'm just saying, if I'm side by side, I don't want to get into that officer's situation. He's got a face chewer. If I've got my own face chewer, that's what I'm trying to say.
And all right, you have your own face chewer.
Okay, so what I would do, and this is what I would do, I would say, stop it, cut it out, or whatever you want to call it. Then I step with the left foot forward, then the right foot forward, depending upon how many steps away I am from him. But I always lead with the left, then right. It's what we call the Frankenstein, because what you're doing, Phil, is you are trying to cover as much ground as you can with as few steps. So I'm standing there. I see this man assaulting this other man. They're both nude, which is going to, obviously, you're going to stop. Whoa. Why are they nude? It's.
What's that, what has that got to do with it?
It would be a natural thing for me as a heteronormsexual, okay, to say, you know, they're nude, and I'm, you know, it's kind of, I don't want to be there. You know what I'm saying?
So, no, I know. I don't know what you're saying. No, I don't.
Well, Phil, all right, so this is why you need to listen to me.
And no, what you're saying is that doesn't make any sense. If I'm a cop and I see a man assaulting another man and I don't give a damn if he's nude, what has that got to do with it?
If you're a heterosexual and you come upon two nudes, if you walk up to two nudes, all right?
If I walk up to two nudes and one is assaulting the other...
Well, what if they weren't?
What if they weren't what?
If they were not assault... What I'm trying to establish is that you're a heterosexual. Is that correct? Or that's what I thought.
Yes.
All right. So what I'm saying is that would be a natural situation that would make you... And we train for this with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, okay? So excuse me, Phil, but we do. And I tell my officers, you're going to naturally say, oh, these are two nudes. And
wait, what do you mean, two nude men?
Well, yeah, but yeah. But it's just shorthand. See, if you walk up, uh-oh, there's two nudes, I better mind my own business. Well, wait a minute. Wait a second. You know, is that guy's face is missing, basically. I mean, that's what you got to tell yourself. So at that point...
All right, well, but I don't understand why any trained police officer trained in the protection of people and private property would have to even consider whether they're wearing clothes or not. I grant that he may be a heterosexual. I don't think sexual orientation has anything to do with it.
But, Phil, are you you're not a police officer and you're not a member of Citizens Auxiliary Police Officers, are you? No. So I'm giving you my best case scenario and what I do. I can't say it's the right thing to do, but it's better than standing there with a gun, boom, 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 boom. In the time that guy takes to get them shots off, I've already got this. I got the face eater off the ground. I got the left arm around. I got a head. The head got twisted. And
this twisting of the head. Can you tell me something, please?
I cannot go into it.
No, but I want to ask you a question because it sounds like so much stuff I've seen on TV.
I can assure you, no, it is not, okay?
All right, but when you got the arm and you take the head and you... tell me about that?
No, I'm not going to tell you about it because what you're doing now is taking the opportunity to mock me and make fun. And
no, I'm not. Honest to God, I just don't know how that's done. And my other question, and the reason why I want to know is it more efficient? If you're talking deadly force and you have to stop somebody from taking someone's life, so you got to kill them, okay?
That's what I'm saying. You don't necessarily have to kill them if you know what you're doing.
And all right, so you take one step forward.
No. No. We do what's called a Frankenstein. It's the left. We swing the right foot forward. We swing the left foot forward. So you're taking these three lunging Frankenstein-style steps, grab the throat, lift him off the ground, whisper into his ear. Well, you're not whispering, but you're saying, you know, cut it out, or stop, or I command you in the name of, you know, of the law. If they don't, then hand goes on top of the head, left arm stays around the throat, hand on top of the head, a quick turn to the right, just twist and then back, almost as if you're sort of, it's a gas cap.
All right, we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
You don't have no questions, or?
Well, we're going to have some questions. I just need to. Oh, actually, no, we don't. We can actually take a phone call, which we will do right now. 877-876-PHIL. Very quickly, let's go over to Vernon in Glendale, California, on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Vernon.
Yeah, Phil, I wanted to comment on the gentleman that you had on the program last hour, and I did not have a chance. His name was Mr. Bozell, I think it was.
No, it's Mr. Bozell.
It's Bozell. So I don't mean any disrespect to your guest right now, but this guy that you had on last hour, who had said that he was going to leave town.
Bill, shouldn't he be asked me a question?
Sir?
No. This gentleman wants to make a comment.
Sir, I want to make it.
Hold on. I got to take a break.
Okay, you got to take a
break. Yeah, he should be asking me a question because...
877-876-7445 as we continue talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on how he would have stopped that guy. The left arm around the neck. First, he has to do the Frankenstein. The left arm around the neck, twist to the left and back to the right. All right. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'll be right back.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876 Phil, continuing here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And the gentleman on the phone, Vernon Dozier, if you don't mind, Vernon, we'll just, if we can put you on hold for a moment, since your comment was about last hour.
Yeah, that's fine, sir, but I did want to finish the...
All right, 877-876-PHIL, and again, with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we've been discussing what you found fault with the Miami... and I got to tell you, just as a, and again, I'm just a civilian here, I thought the Miami officer was right on. I mean, he was right on the job. I don't know what he could have done differently.
Well, what he could have done differently, he didn't need to just blow that guy away like some kind of a Wild West show. He gets out of the car and just, I think there's a difference, Phil, between getting out of the car with interest in interdicting a situation and all that, or getting out of the car, standing with your legs spread shoulder length apart, drawn down, and just boom, 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 boom.
And that's six shots, and you keep, that's five that...
I'm sorry, that was five shots is what he was hit with.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, and we'll go over to a phone caller here. We have Bill on the line. Go ahead, Bill, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Okay, how you doing, Phil? I spent 16 years on the New York City Police Department, and number one, this officer was right on. The only thing he's probably going to have to answer for is to the Shooting Review Board for using excessive shots. Maybe one or two shots would have been enough. Five, maybe they're going to question for being excessive. Number two, you know, when you get out of the car and you see two nude guys, number one guy is being assaulted. Number two, the second guy is the perpetrator. He's ripping the face off the other man. You don't stop and worry about sexual orientation. You worry about saving the other man's life. Trying to do this Frankenstein move on him, number one, you're putting your own life in danger, because when you see a situation like that, obviously The guy's naked. He's ripping the face off another guy. So you got to think, what is this guy on? Is he on PCP? Is he on methamphetamines? Drugs like that amplify your strength 5 times. You go and wrap your arm around this guy's neck. He's probably going to throw you over his shoulder like a rag doll, and he's probably going to stomp the life out of you and then just go right back to what he was doing. So what you got to do he's using his body as a deadly weapon. You have to use deadly force to stop what he's doing, plain and simple. You don't stop and worry about his sexual orientation. You have to take care of business as a police officer. Your duty is to serve and protect, plain and simple.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Jay?
I don't disagree with anything, man. Yes, sir. All I'm trying to say is, what's the difference between that and just doing a quick neck, you know, just twist the head? See what I'm saying?
I don't know how you auxiliary officers are trained regular, as opposed to regular officers.
You do a head twist? You do a head twist.
Did we lose the caller? Are you there? Well, we lost Bill.
I want to say something. He's not there now, so I've got, it's an open, free, open, wide highway. I can go sailing down the highway now because he was, butting in.
No, he's not butting in. He was my caller. We lost you, Bill. You can call back if you want. Can I just sum up what he was saying?
He could sum up, but I don't know if you can sum up because you're not really a police officer.
Well, I was listening to it, so I will sum up. He was saying essentially this, that putting your hands on a guy who is high on possibly a drug that gives him this strength, amphetamines, methamphetamines, this kind of thing, putting your hands on the guy could mean that you are putting yourself in danger, and now the guy is going to kick your ass and go back to killing this other dude. So why not stand clear of the guy and just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, but you heard what the gentleman said. He say that it might have been excessive force.
Well, that's up to a police review board. And this head twist thing, he was trying to ask you, what is that?
Mr. Henry, when you take the head and you do the quick twist, I don't think there's anybody that is not familiar with that. If you had remembered seeing, I think there was a film.
See, this is what I've got a problem with. I don't care about movies.
I know. I'm trying to tell a layman, in the best possible terms, what I mean. If you saw the movie In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich played the guy that wants to assassinate a president.
Okay.
And he finds a woman who could possibly give evidence to the police, and he doesn't want that to happen, so he follows her home and grabs her and does the, to the neck. And if you saw it, it was pretty cool because...
No, I'm not interested in cool. You know what I mean?
No, I'm just saying it went whip, whip, the head, and probably it looked cooler than... Or no, I shouldn't say cool, but it looked better than it was because she had red hair and the hair whipped around. And there was a whipping motion. Now, to the issue of the Frankenstein, or the Frankenstein stroll, as we call it, the stroll, or the Frankenstein stroll...
What is it called again?
It's called the Frankenstein.
And what is the stroll?
But it's the Frankenstein stroll, because you're walking. And you're walking... You're walking in the manner...
And if you're walking in the manner of Frankenstein, how does that help you...
Can I finish what I'm saying, please?
Go ahead, and then I got to get back to... I want to get back to Mr. Dozier, too.
Jeez, Mr. Henry, I've been on the show here, and you're always wanting to get back to somebody else. You don't ever want to talk to me. And
I want to talk to you. I've got other people that I want to talk to.
Forget it.
Mr. Santos?
What?
I want to hear what you got to say, and then I got to get back to Mr. Dozier and some other callers, okay?
Nah, forget it.
What?
Forget it, doesn't matter.
You know what, sir? We can do this like adults.
I'm just trying to say what what's going on, and I'm just being treated like I'm something that you just pulled, like something that got stuck up there that you just saw, as you were taking a shower. Oh, look at that, toilet paper. That's me. You just washed me right out of this.
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel. I feel as if you're glancing down and you're saying, oh, what did I just wash out of the crack of my you-know-what? Oh, there's Jay Santos. That's how I feel.
Okay, well, I'm sorry.
was going to say that the Frankenstein... What did you ask me?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. How does the Frankenstein help you get to this guy faster?
It is a deliberate walk, because what's happening, and this is why what we do in the Citizens Auxiliary Police is a far more effective way of approaching a perpetrator like this. It's a slow walk, but what's happening in that slow walk? You're saying, get off him, and you're also, in your mind, overcoming your gay phobias or homophobia or whatever if you're having a heterosexual reaction. See what I'm saying? So that officer was right, but you got to give the officer time to go, oh, wait, so it's not about sex, even though, you know, they're nude. I got to help them.
You think a cop has to stop and assess that?
I think some. I know I do. I mean, if I came up on that scene, I'd have to do the Frankenstein. It's the only thing that gives me the time to think, I'm not gay, they are gay, or maybe they're not, I don't know, but still, I got to save a life. Okay, left foot forward, right foot forward. By the time the other left foot forward goes forward, you're thinking, no, it doesn't matter if they're gay or not, I'm going to save a life. And then the arm. What?
Nothing. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go back to Mr. Dozier, sir. You wanted to make a point?
Yeah, Phil, I did want to make just one point. This is from your hour, last hour. You're talking to Mr. Bozell, and this guy that you got on here right now, he's beautiful.
Sir, I'm just trying to...
Hold on. I've got the floor now, and I think Mr. Andre said that I do have, because I want to comment on what happened last hour. Mr. Bozell was on your program. And he was talking, and I think he talked to a couple of your callers, Phil, but I don't think he ever really got his feet held to the fire on this whole idea that he's going to be leaving his family. And I don't think it was ever really stated what this guy's problem is, but I can tell you, as a longtime coach, a professional football coach, I've been a collegiate coach, I did coach at a professional level for a year. This guy's problem, this Bozell that you had last hour, is this guy wants to run away because he's got some of these, mama issues. You know what I'm saying? You know,
mother issues.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. He wants to. There's nothing more complex than that. It's got nothing to do with him wanting to get his head together. He just wants to go home and find mommy. And I got to tell you, I get so sick, and I get sick to my stomach of these guys. All they need is mama. That's what they need. Because, and they don't want to come out and admit it. They don't want to come out and say, hi, Phil, my name is Mr. Bozell, or Bozell. Or,
his name is Bozell.
All right, my name is Mr. Bozell. And, you know what? I just remembered something. I got to go home because I need my mommy. Yeah, you heard it. You heard it right. You heard it right here. You heard it here, and you heard it first.
I mean, that sounds kind of crazy.
It's not crazy. That's exactly what these people need. That's exactly what that guy wanted. He wanted to go home, and he wanted his
mama
to take her brassiere off, and he wanted to get himself some lunch.
I'll take some right now. Yeah, I wouldn't mind taking some lunch.
Okay, thank you. So what we're talking about here is a very juvenile mindset.
Absolutely a juvenile mindset. This got nothing to do with needing to go to a head shrinker or overcoming his fear or anything else. This is a guy who every time he sees a problem in life, he's got to go and find mommy and say, mommy, is it warm enough? You need to heat it up? I'd be happy. You know, I'll wait. But sooner or later, you know, you better make with breakfast, because I need my
mama.
And the only other guys, I'll tell you this right now, the only other guys that make me sicker are these guys that got to go home and do what their daddy tells them to do.
Didn't you say once on our show...
And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but these guys that need to go home to their
mama
and have the mama whip it out with one hand under it and say, soup.
What?
Soup's on.
Oh, man. You had no disrespect for women.
What? I don't have no disrespect for women.
I mean, you have disrespect for women.
I don't speak Swahili. I don't know what. I don't speak this Finnish that this guy speaks. What?
He says you have no respect for women.
Why is that disrespectful of a woman when you go home to your mama, like I did? I had to go home to my mama. Because guess what? She wanted me to come home and give her a neck rub. She wanted me to come home and go shopping with her. I was like her boyfriend. Kiss me on the mouth, all that kind of stuff. These guys are hoping, some of these guys are hoping, that they got a mother like mine, that they go home to their mama. They go home to their mammy, how I love you, how I love you. They go home to her. Now, like you got a mental issue. Why don't you shut up? They go home to their mammy, oh, how I love you, how. And they want her to whip it out, one hand underneath it. And she says, everything from soup to nuts.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I know you don't know. That's why I'm here to help you. I'm Brent Dozier.
With a ballpark named after you.
You want to make some out of that, too?
No. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Unbelievable.
Mommy!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. Here it is, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up next hour, we have our news and information hour, and that will be with Bud Dickman as well as Robert Leonard, and we're just talking here, and I'm just taking a couple of moments. We're talking here about the terrible incident there in Miami, but what we've gotten off into all of these ridiculous stereotypes of men who are... Stephen Bozell, who was on last hour, of course, was mocked by my last caller as needing his mother because he's got mother issues because he's afraid of some guy that's going to consume his face. Jay Santos, you heard all of that. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think, Phil, thank you. First of all, for allowing me to make comment, because that guy dominated the section, whatever you call it, the pie slice of your show.
Segment.
I'm sorry.
It's called a segment.
Right. He dominated the segment of your show, and I didn't think that it was right. I think that you can boil it down to all kinds of psychological issues, but the psychological issue that I have, or you have, or the man last hour have, or even that Brennan Dozier have, is nothing compared to the
psychological. What is with the people on our show these days?
What's that?
We've got a lot of people can't pronounce psychological.
All right, psychological. The psychologicals of the man who was eating the guy's face.
You have come up with some, in my opinion, sir, some ridiculous interpretations of behavior. You're asking a police officer, you say, well, he may be afraid that this is a gay encounter and he doesn't want to intrude. While police officers are trained to save the lives of people, to recognize when someone is in danger, you've got cops going through all kinds of quandary and all kinds of questions and confusion. And I don't think, first of all, it's realistic. I don't think you're exhibiting very much in the way of understanding what goes on, to be honest with you. And I would be very, very worried if you were the only responding officer that you're going to try and headlock a guy, twist his head because you saw it in the line of fire.
I didn't see it in the line of fire. I saw it in the line of fire, but I practiced it before I saw that.
Oh, you practiced it? On who?
I practiced it on a mannequin head. Okay? I didn't practice it on a real person. God.
And oh, okay. So that's going to really show you how to break someone's neck by taking a mannequin... Man.
Okay, so you're laughing. Great. You know what? Mr. Henry, and I say this with the greatest of respect, but I hope hell has a fire pit, for diners that want to go outside and smoke. And I hope you're sitting around it when they call your table and you trip and fall in. Yeah, have a very pleasant good evening to you, sir.
Having a hard time hanging it up? Are you having a hard time hanging the phone up?
I get it. Don't worry about it. Just go on. Just do your show.
Yeah, so he's going to try to hang his phone up. Why is it the guys that call this show don't have cell phones? I'm not talking to you, man. Hang your phone up.
What an ass. Not too bad.
Leave this retard.
I just said retard. That's not allowed on radio. Boy, you just put your foot in it. I knew you did. I knew you did.
Why? Is that why you're having a hard time hanging up the phone so you didn't trap me into using a word like that?
Maybe. Subcommander Gleason, Subcommander Gleason, I need you to come to the Radio Shack, please. Subcommander Gleason, come to Radio Shack. I got to hang up the phone.
Oh, so you got to call Subcommander Gleason, huh?
What?
You got to call Subcommander Gleason to help you hang the phone up?
Yeah, I thought, what do you want?
I don't know how to hang this phone up. Can you hang it up?
What a couple of morons.
Yeah, you, Steve, you tend to your business, I tend mine.
I don't think it works.
What do you mean you don't think it works?
Get pot this guy down, will you, bud? What are we going to listen to that crap for?
I don't know. You're talking to him.
Yeah, but there comes a time where you just get rid of the guy already. 877-876-7445. Margaret is on the line tonight. Margaret, how you doing? Margaret Gray, of course, Frank Gray. Where were you guys tonight?
Phil, we're just coming back from dinner. We were having dinner at Joffrey's, and I don't know if you've been following me on Twitter, but there is a Twitter account, and her name is Jenny Johnson. Do you know this name?
I know the name. I think she's a TV producer.
Well, I don't know, and I don't think anybody really does know who Jenny Johnson is. She's one of these fave star users on Twitter. She's got lots of followers. But whether she was ever really a TV producer or just some gopher, I don't know. She's like this Kelly Oxford. She's a housewife. She lives in some city out there and fancies herself a celebrity of sorts. Posted a picture of herself with Jenna Elfman's dog, which I thought was extremely forward of her. I can't.
Okay, so but that's not why you called.
No, it's not why I called, but I wondered, have you seen, you don't give a damn, right?
No, I don't really give a damn, no, and now we're at the end of the hour.
Well, that's fine, because I was going to do the song.
All right, well, hold on, and Margaret's going to sing tonight's relevant song, I guess. Is she going to be singing every night?
Yes, well, let's call in and sing about what's in the news.
Yeah. Sing about what's in the news. A guy eating another guy's face?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, good. I don't know what you call it. Maybe it's, I don't know.
Never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, what's so funny?
Nothing.
Phil Hendry.
So you do know who Jenny Johnson is. Good.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour, and we're going to, as soon as we leave the airwaves tonight, we're going to get our podcast set for tomorrow, episode 4 in the free Phil Hendry podcast. So be sure to, when you visit our homepage, look for the podcast link there on the left-hand side. If you'd like to get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Hendry show website, just go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and hit VIP backstage, and you'll be able to watch our live streaming video of the show. You'll be able to listen to thousands of hours of archived material. It just don't ever quit. And we have also archived video and so many other miscellaneous and sundry clips, including lots of character clips there for you at philhendryshow.com. And it's thousands of hours worth of listening. So join us there. All right. Margaret Gray and Frank Gray joining us as they come back from having dinner this evening. You were going to give us a song, Margaret, if I'm not mistaken. You're going to sing a song and sort of make it relate to the news tonight? Was that it?
Well, Phil, my goodness, I sort of expected a much better introduction than that.
Well, I'm sorry. I wasn't quite sure
why I was on the show.
Well, I know why you're on the show, all right?
You just, right there is an example of what I've been talking about. I really want, and I hate to bring this up, but I really want to be treated with a little bit more class. And I think that when you say, I heard your voice just then, you sounded strained, you sounded nervous, it sounded as if you were reaching, looking for a raison d'être, if you know the French. Do you know the French?
No, I don't know the, what do you mean, the French?
Do you know French?
He's talking about French language.
Do I know French, the language? No.
So you don't know raison d'être. You don't know that?
No, I don't.
Well, it means, okay.
What does it mean?
It means, it's a raisin, you know, it's talking about a raisin. I don't know, Phil, but it's essentially saying this. It's the raisin that is the example in nature. And I think, without getting into a big, long thing.
Yeah, let's not.
Well, Phil, I can explain it, but without getting a big, long thing, I heard Vernon talking about Mama, or however he put it, and it reminded me of the Al Jolson classic Mammy. I also have a song about the Miami situation, which I also know that Vernon was talking about, and so I'd like to do that too, if I could.
All right, there is Margaret Gray, and the first song is?
The first song is Miami. No, it's not Miami. What is it?
It's Miami. It's Miami by Al Jolson.
No, it's not Miami. Miami is Miami. It's the song...
Mammy! Mammy.
Mammy, that's right. Mammy, Mammy, the sun shines east, the sun shines the shit, shoot.
He's got to do it again, Phil.
Yeah, no kidding.
What was that crack supposed to mean?
Let's not get sidetracked. I heard you mess up.
One, two, three, and Miami, pick three.
He's going to do it.
I understand. It's Mammy.
You said Miami.
No, I said it's Mammy's the song.
Mammy, Frank, not Miami.
Well, what did she say?
He said, that's what was wrong. I need a higher key. Okay, here we go, Phil. I'm ready to go. You want to count it down for me?
Fine. One, two, three, four.
Drop the phone, Phil. I'm sorry. Count it down again.
No, I'm not. You count it down.
All right. One, two, three. What is that, a red light?
Yeah.
Hold on, Phil. We're coming to a red light.
So?
So it blows my timing. Do you mind? In the meantime, here is a song that I want to dedicate to that horrible, horrible occurrence in Miami. The first time ever I saw your face, it's not looking good now, but...
Okay, if you're going to do shtick, we can move on.
I'm not doing shtick. I got tongue-tied. Who does he think he's...
Hey, look, Henry, he's my wife. Do you understand?
Get that nut off the phone with the he and the she and the mixed up...
Problem.
I don't need you doing shtick with the first time ever I saw your face, okay?
All right, here it is. The first time ever I ate... I'm sorry, Phil. It's a natural thing to say.
Dude, one more time, I'm hanging up.
The first time ever... See, I'm nervous now because I know you're going to hang up.
All right, Margaret. You know, pull yourself together. Do you want to do Mammy? Do you want to do the first time ever I saw your face? What do you want to do?
I'd like to do both of them, but I'm nervous now.
Well, I'm sorry I've made you nervous, but I will not have you on here singing shtick lyrics to the first time ever I saw your face.
The first time ever I saw your face, the ambulance pulled...
Okay.
Hung up? Yes.
Yeah, we hung up. See, I'm not going to play that, man. Okay?
You're looking at me like I somehow I set her up for it.
Well, but I'm not saying you set her up for it. But I am saying, as a producer, you could do a much better job of letting these people know that they're not coming on here to do shtick-a-rooney, that I want to get it clean, I want it sweet, I want it pure, I want it beautiful. Lay it down, get out of my life, I don't ever want to see you again until we call you for a return appearance.
Yeah, that's a lot of things to do.
Well, okay, then maybe the two of you guys can collaborate and say, wow, why don't we do what Phil would like us to do instead of Margaret coming on and singing, the first time ever I saw your face, gee, it didn't look too good.
Well, I mean, it seemed like a logical thing.
I don't care what you think is logical. Mammy. All right, folks, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. It is our news and information hour. And let's get away from the gruesomeness of the thing. How did I miss the eclipse, man? Because there was an eclipse. It was a moonlight shadow eclipsing the Earth from and photographs taken from a satellite that were quite breathtaking. I suggest you visit our friends over there at Mail Online. Some of these photos, I've never been in an eclipse, okay?
What is that?
An eclipse can be one of two things. An eclipse, it can be one of many things. I think you can be in a solar eclipse. And a solar eclipse, I believe, is when the sun passes, or excuse me, when the moon passes in front of the sun. So that the sun, the solar, if you pardon me, I'm sounding like Margaret.
Yeah, I'm doing solar. Yeah, that scared me, man.
All right, sorry, but if the sun is blocked by the moon, that's a solar eclipse. The moon has passed in front of the sun. It's a rare occurrence, and of course we all remember as kids, we were told, and it's true, I believe the latest, don't ever look at that because the ultraviolet rays can do grave damage to your eyesight.
I looked up at the sun one time and nothing happened to me.
Yeah, me too.
I ain't talking about looking up at the sun. Even if you look at the sun, you're an idiot, okay? But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about looking at the sun during a solar eclipse. That's when the moon moves in front of the sun. Now,
what's a lunar eclipse?
A lunar eclipse is when the moon is blocked by the sun. Now, how the hell does that happen? Oh, I know how. Yeah. The Earth passes between the sun and the moon so that the moon at night is just like a ring.
What? Man, that don't make no sense.
All right, I'm sure I didn't explain it well. A lunar eclipse is you're at night. First of all, it's got to be at night. It can't be in the daytime, a lunar eclipse. And you're up there and you're looking at the moon, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And the moon's going around the Earth, but one other thing is happening. The Earth is also turning on its axis and stuff like that. I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I didn't think you did, man.
Get Ron Turner. Would you get Dr. Turner?
Yeah, what's his number?
I don't know what his number is, man. We're on, what's his number? Let me look it up here, man. I probably got it in my freaking Rolodex here.
Get your iPhone.
I don't have it on my iPhone. Find his number and get him on here so I can find out what a stinking lunar eclipse is. And I don't sound like even more of an idiot than I do. All right, so that's groovy. And we'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Dr. Ron Turner on the lunar eclipse thing. We've got other news.
Yeah, what happened to him?
What do you mean, what happened to him? That's Anthony from Opie and Anthony.
Oh.
What happened to him?
I thought it was Opie.
No. Aren't they funny? We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we are joined here just in this next segment by Dr. Ron Turner. Dr. Turner is at the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. And Dr. Turner, how are you?
Good, Bill. Thank you for having me on the program this evening and for excited to talk to you about one of my very favorite topics, which is the lunar eclipse.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for the late. Are you in the middle of construction or something?
No. What you're hearing, Bill, is actually we are moving one of our telescopes, which is, we call this Wet Betsy. It's the bigger of the two that we have take a cross view of the sky every day. We take a series of photographs. We're actually moving one of them for repair. And we take that, we lower it down to a repair area, the lower portion of our observatory here. And what you're hearing there, Phil, is simply the clicking of the gears that on a sort of a conveyor lower our telescope.
Oh, okay. It sounded rather loud. And it's the middle of the night there, huh?
Well, exactly. And you know, our work never stops. We are here, you know, I'm here Monday through Friday, but tonight I'm working on a third shift because we've had some, we've had a couple of things happen. One of them was that JPL was having some radio problems. They were having interference. And this was nothing serious, but they were not able to collate some data, so we took over from JPL. That was number one. And the number two, we're doing a couple of projects for the Cape. And these are just, you know, reviewing the last shuttle information that some of the information coming back from the space station.
So you guys are not only just looking at the night sky there, you're doing all kinds of stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. We are. I mean, what I just told you, I made up. We're not really doing any of that, but I've got a sound. Now, just hear me out, Phil.
You made up.
Yeah, but please hear me out. I've got this sound as if we're doing something so that it doesn't, so we don't lose our government funding. But I have to tell you, I made it up because I can't, that's about as well as I can bullcrap. Excuse me for saying that.
Why would you, okay.
Why would I? Because I knew you were going to ask me what's going on, and I've got to make it sound good.
So you made all of that up?
I made all of it up, yeah.
So you're not doing anything for JPL?
No, not for the Cape, not J, nothing. I made it up.
So why would you tell me that you made it up if you're going to lose your funding?
Because I blew it. I know I was stammering, and I know that I started to sound very suspect. I was going,
Well, it sounded good to me. You know,
well, it may sound good to you, Phil, but with the greatest of respect, you're not the test. You're not the you know, you're not the standard. The standard is if there's anybody from the federal government, NASA, if any of them are listening, okay? Because I'll tell you something right now, they will lay me out and stretch me out the way they did William Wallace, and you know, go to work on me with that, you know, the Torquemada.
Okay, let's just forget it. Let's talk. Can you talk? I hate to ask this. Do you know anything about lunar eclipses?
Yes, I. That's insulting, Bill.
Well, come on, Doc. If I ask you what you're doing and you make up a bunch of stuff and then you tell me you just made it up, okay?
No, because I made up that stuff on the fly doesn't mean I don't know about astronomy.
And well, why did you make all that up?
Because we're not doing anything here. We're looking at stars. We're making notations. I go get coffee, I go home, I sit there and wonder about my life, I look at my kid's homework, I go, yeah, that's great, fine, whatever, he leaves, goes to his friend's house, he could care less whether I live or die, I get in my car, I drive back to the observatory, I say, hi, how you doing, to the guy that opens the door for me at night, he's been here 35 years, that man, and he's bored to tears with looking at me, looking at the night sky, looking at that acidite uniform he has to put on, and I don't blame him.
Are you happy in your work?
Yes, I'm very happy at my work.
Then why do you sound so utterly cynical? You're talking about...
Because you asked me what I'm doing, and that's what I do.
Why not just say so?
Because if I said so, and it's going to happen anyway, the Federals are listening, somebody from NASA, I'll give you an example, there's a guy by the name of Jim Bethnick, who works for NASA, he's one of their auditors, he's a nosy SOB, I hate his guts, I know you're listening right now, Jim, and I know you're going to make a full report, and I don't care anymore.
Well, all right. It sounds like there's a lot going on there.
Everything's fine, Phil.
Well, you're talking about this guy's going to make a full report. You're lying to me about what's going on.
I'm not lying.
Well, you're making up stuff, and you're telling me about your life, which doesn't sound good at all.
Well, look, I'm a single father. I got my son, and other than my son, my life is a big fat zero. Okay? What are you laughing at?
What about your work?
Okay, my work. Let's talk about my work. You want to know about my work? Hey, Dr. Tarner.
Yes?
Look, see? Oh, a star. And that's it.
Can we talk about the lunar eclipse?
I'd be happy to, Phil. I don't want you to think I don't enjoy my work, but I get a little tired after a while of... I don't know. Well?
I don't know, man. This is a very depressing conversation, talking to a guy.
Well, you know what? I would really appreciate it that either ask me a question or get out of my life, okay?
All right. Well, I mean, if that's the way you feel, what is it, David?
Yeah.
Hi, David. Hey, David.
Yeah, why don't you just get to it, okay?
Exactly what I was saying.
But just get to it, because haranguing this poor man isn't going to get you anywhere.
I didn't think I was haranguing him. You know, I was asking him questions.
I listened to the whole thing, and it's boring. You understand?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
It's boring. Today, well, why do you do this? Just do it. You know, Phil, I just left one of my favorite restaurants in Pasadena, the market, the French market. I forget what it's called. What's the name of it?
Right.
Yeah, the French boy. I got Eleanor here. You met her, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh, she, are you really? This is Bill Henry's on the radio right now. Say hi to him, baby. So we're coming away from there. We got dessert. We got custard dessert. And I got a couple of things I'm going to do with it, which I'm not going to let you in on, and I don't mean to be crude.
But you just were.
All right, so I just was. But the point that I'm making here is get on with it, because even Eleanor said, why don't you call up Mr. Henry and have him get on with the show. She's a young lady that I just met, but she's very astute.
Oh, really? Well, that's great. So thank you very much, David.
Whoa. Do you have the notes? She gave me some notes. She's been listening to the show the last few nights.
That's fine, David. I don't want to hear Eleanor's notes. Okay?
Well, who's Eleanor?
Never mind.
What are you talking to the guest like that for?
Get out of here. Call me up later, man, okay, when I got enough patience to deal with you. All right, Dr. Tarner, what is a lunar eclipse?
All right, Phil. Well, a lunar eclipse is when the moon, as you very adequately said, the moon is, it's at night, so the moon's out at night, and it has to be at night. If the moon is out in the, well, the moon isn't out in the daytime, so you would never see the moon in the daytime. So the moon at night turns red. Now, if you look at this, and you can look right at it, it won't hurt your eyes.
And no, I understand that, but why does it turn red?
Did I finish? Jesus.
Sorry.
The moon turns red, and it doesn't hurt your eyes, and it's very interesting to look at. Now, there have been a number of them.
What causes it to turn red?
Well, now, I can hear the music, so you're doing a break, is that it?
Yeah, hold on.
Well, I didn't...
What?
You're letting me down again. You're letting me down again, bud.
But I don't.
Would you get these guests in? Get them ready to answer some questions. The guy made up half that stuff he was saying. But we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's my point.
And the moon turns red, and it looks really good.
The first time ever I saw your...
You're listening to the world-famous Bill Henry Show.
I can't see your face in my mind.
Get out of here with that face. What did I tell you guys?
I can't.
Get out of here with the face stuff. Yeah, that ain't funny, man, okay?
Dad, just tell him what kind of song we got.
The only song we found was Put On a Happy Face. Mr. Hall said he can't use it.
You ain't using any face songs. Put On a Happy Face. I want you guys to start, you know, not everything is occasion for a laugh. You understand? In the world of comedy and satire, not everything has to be played for a laugh, because the audience will not forgive you. The audience will say, ah, Phil, you know, we like you, but you went over the line there.
What are you talking about?
Something that you can't understand, obviously. Anyway, welcome back to the show, the world-famous Phil Hendry.
Sorry.
The world-famous Phil. I'm going to take my headphones off. I can't take listening to all this. The peripheral stuff is driving me nuts, okay? So I'm just taking off the headphone.
You ain't going to be able to hear nothing.
You guys just cue me when I have to hear something. You understand?
All right.
All right. Just let my head breathe a little. Those headphones are hot, man. All right. USDA warns the J&J unit about tampon complaints. Apparently, the U.S. Administration has been talking about the... What's that?
Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall is on the line? Okay. Let's get David Hall. David, we were just talking to you, huh?
Turn the music off!
What's that?
Turn the music down!
Is there music? Get the music! What are you guys trying to pull, anyway?
God, I'm driving down the street, I'm listening to... It's blasting me right out of the car! Eleanor just made a note of it. She said...
Yeah, thanks. Get out of here. What are you guys trying to pull?
Just a little joke.
I guess I gotta wear my headphones.
Yeah, every professional broadcaster to never take its headphones off. That ought to teach you a lesson. Why, just the other day... Ow!
Yeah, did that teach you a lesson?
Yeah.
As I was saying, USDA, the United States Fed Food, the food, what's the F stand for?
Food.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration warns J&J unit about tampon complaints. All right, so in Washington, let me get my glasses here. The U.S. drug regulators chided a Johnson & Johnson unit for not reporting or investigating customer complaints about OB tampons or personal lubricants similar to KY jelly. Watch it, bud. Okay, just be grow up.
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, you did. You're all...
But it's kind of funny.
Just grow up. The Food and Drug Administration said the unit McNeil PPC Incorporated did not properly follow up on complaints that included toxic shock syndrome. That ain't funny, man. That's a disease that kills people. You understand that?
Yeah.
Toxic shock syndrome from using the tampon, according to a warning label posted on the FDA's website on Tuesday. The company also did not investigate complaints about the personal lubricant KY Liquibeads, vaginal moisturizer. All right. I guess they had complaints about these products, and which in fact it never got permission to sell. So what happened was is this. Johnson & Johnson never got permission to sell a new product, KY Liquibeads Vaginal Moisturizer. They never got permission to sell that. And that ain't too cool, baby. You got to get the FDI, the FDA. You got to get their permission to sell stuff. See?
What do you got to get a permission for?
Why do you have to get permission? You want to know why you have to get permission? It's time for another Phil Hendry history lesson. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring the music up. Why do you have to get permission? Because at one time, bud, there were people selling all kinds of crap, claiming all kinds of stuff.
Well, like what? I mean, this is a company, and they got the right to sell... No, free enterprise.
Oh, free enterprise. Well, there's that word again. I believe in free enterprise, bud. There's no question free enterprise is important. But here's where we get into that very uncomfortable area called, well, necessary government intrusion. Or maybe it isn't necessary. Maybe you, bud, and you, Robert, and a lot of folks out there would like to say, well, you know what, Phil, I'll take my chances. I'll go ahead and go to a doctor who believes that putting a goat thyroid into my body will make me younger and more spry and more sexually active.
Are you saying somebody did that?
Oh, somebody? How about a whole nation of quacks? See, back in the day... There was a man, and I wish I had his name because he's a hero. He worked for the American Medical Association. He was a doctor, and he was also in charge of their that part of the American Medical Association that kept track of medical practitioners that were harming people. Now, there were no laws against a lot of what was going on. So the only thing that stood between the consumer and these quacks, believe it or not, was the American Medical Association. Today, the AMA is viewed as big, a huge, corrupt lobbying influence on American life, this, that, and so on and so forth. But there was a time when, you know, and I still think the time is with us, where the AMA has done great work. There was nothing standing between the American people and quacks who would say, hey, we'll cut you open, as they did, as we're now finding out, Adolf Hitler had this process done. These are some medical records that have just been discovered. But it wasn't just done to Hitler. It was done by millions of men all over the world. There was a time where medical practitioners believed transplanting a certain organ from a certain animal into a man would help improve his sexual vigor, his youthfulness, etc. Goat glands, bull testicles.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. Now, in a lot of cases, transplanting a goat gland or a bull testicle into a guy, really, it didn't help. There was absolutely no scientific evidence whatsoever. But it wasn't hurting him. What, 9 times out of 10 hurt the guy?
Yeah, you put a goat gland in, not going to hurt you.
Well, if it's sterile, you know, it really is just kind of a dead piece of tissue. It's not doing anything. If it's not infecting the body of the individual that it's in. But what happened many cases, the surgery was done in a less than sterile environment. Many times a fever would develop because some kind of an infection invaded the body. And you had guys that were, some men were killed. I mean, they had fatalities. And these guys, these quacks, they just pull up stakes and move to another town, and nobody knew what happened to them. This was going on in America all the time. Did you ever see that movie the other day? We were looking at that thing, Wizard of Oz. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember the guy that Dorothy meets? What's the guy's name?
Oh, yeah, the guy was selling like an elixir. That's the wizard.
Well, it wasn't the wizard, but I mean, in real life, it was that doctor.
Yeah.
He's going down the road selling some elixir, right? Well, he used to do that in those days. Back in the old days, guys would ride from town to town. Hey, here it is, baby. This is going to get rid of measles. It'll get rid of pimples. It'll grow your hair back. You can also use it to polish your shoes. You can also feed your cat this stuff. I mean, they made all kinds of claims, and it was nothing more than alcohol and maybe some food coloring. And they sold this stuff. They collected all kinds of money, and they split, you know.
Yeah, a lot of times they lynched those guys, too.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, probably. So that's why they got the FDA. So finally what happened, this one doctor that was doing the goat gland stuff, I told you about this guy, he moved to Mexico so he could get away from the federal interference. And his clinic was in Mexico, but he also needed a way to advertise. So he started buying radio stations, and he bought one radio station across the border in from El Paso in Juarez, and it had a massive stick and a massive coverage of, you know, God knows what, the entire North American continent, and that radio station eventually became XERF, which is the one that Wolfman Jack started on.
What?
Forget it, okay?
What about Wolfman Jack?
I forgot you guys don't know who he is. He was an early disc jockey. You know that song, Heard It on the X by ZZ Top?
Uh-uh.
Anyway, ZZ Top did a song, Heard It on the X. They're talking about, if you listen to that song, they lay out the whole history of the X from the quack doctor that owned it and all of the remedies that he would advertise on the airwaves. And he also used the opportunity to vent against the U.S. government, vent against the federal government. Why aren't they letting me do what I want to do? And yeah, sure.
That guy kill people?
Yeah, he eventually did kill somebody. I'm sorry, I read a whole book about the guy. I can't remember his name, but it's a hell of a good book. And one of these days, I'll give you the title of it, but I can't do it right now.
You're always promising people you're going to do give them a name, and they don't never know about it.
You know what, man? I can't remember it right now. I'm sorry. I know where it is in the house, back at the house. I can get it, but I can't remember it. Anyway, that answer your question?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, if you got a guy putting a bull ball, or what is it, a ball bull?
A bull testicle.
Yeah, that's a ball. It's not a ball bull. It's not a ball bull. It's a bull. It's a ball of a bull.
What?
I said, you didn't say it's a ball bull.
I didn't say it's a, what is he saying?
You didn't say it's a ball bull.
A bald bull?
Yeah.
I said bull testicle. I didn't say anything like that. You clowns are the ones that are butchering it left and right.
But talk about ball, not a ball bull, it's a bull ball.
Don't even say bull ball, just say bull testicle and we're going to be fine. How about that? Is that okay?
Yeah, but I mean, it's not as colorful.
Oh, well. And the other thing is we can't waste 5 minutes going back and forth about bald bulls, bull ball, ball ball. God.
You gotta take care of yourself, man. You're out of wind.
Get out of here. In any event, folks, as I was saying, so that was the problem with that. And the FDA said, no, you can't sell this lubricant KY Liquibead crap. And they went ahead and sold it anyway. J&J has recalled hundreds of millions of bottles and packages of its over-the-counter medicines in the past few years, such as the painkillers Tylenol and Motrin, due to quality lapses at its factories. Man, and I love Motrin, too.
That's for chicks.
I don't care. What do you mean it's for chicks?
Only chicks take Motrin.
Well, guess what? This kid here takes it, man. It's a hell of a painkiller.
Yeah, but don't that... That's going to give you female...
Yeah, won't you grow breasts? No, I mean, not grow breasts. Are you crazy or something? You're telling me I take Motrin? No, you idiot. It's not a hormone. It's a painkiller. The FDA said McDeal PPC never told regulators it planned to sell the KY Liquibeads and made substantial changes to the lubricant compared with previous similar products without getting permission to do so. The company received 227 complaints about the product from the end of June 2010 until December 2011, including the fact the lubricant did not dissolve or had uncharacteristic consistency.
What's that mean?
It's like when you put it on your body, it was just, it was weird. Like maybe it was, part of it was absorbable and the other part was more like, who knows, too thick to absorb. The agency said J&J, Johnson & Johnson, must respond within 15 business days about how it will address the issues, a risk facing seizure of its products, or a fine. J&J spokeswoman Jody Wiederman said McNeil PPC takes the FDA's concerns seriously, will do whatever is necessary. You guys should stay up on this news. Everybody should stay up on this news. I bet you guys go to the store and you buy Johnson & Johnson products, and you aren't aware of half of these things that are happening from day to day. This is under-the-radar stuff. The fact that Johnson & Johnson gets its stuff recalled by the FDA, it sounds to me, on a quasi-regular, 227 complaints about this product, and they have had, it says here, regular seizures of products. Johnson & Johnson. The famous Johnson & Johnson. You know, the baby shampoo Johnson & Johnson.
The Q-tips.
Yeah, they make the Q-tips. So you got to stay up on this stuff. Okay? You know, there are names that we trust, and it's unfortunate, but it's true. Not every company can stay top of the line for as long as some of these companies do. Johnson & Johnson's probably one of the most trusted names in toiletries, in over-the-counter medicines, in topical treatments, et cetera, in health, in, you know, whatever health needs that we have that a doctor can't treat, Johnson & Johnson's the name, right? And we all go to the store, we go, there's the Johnson & Johnson, I'll get that. Well, guess what, man? While we're standing there like a bunch of, you know, stumble bums, as my father would say, they're getting their stuff recalled.
You don't think they have stuff to kill you?
No, they haven't got anything that's going to kill you. It's quality, man. That's all I'm talking about. Quality, okay, baby? Either you got the quality or not. All right, we got to take a break. We're way over our limit here. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, our final segment of the show coming up. Don't forget, tomorrow it's another episode of the free Phil Henry podcast. Hit the link on our homepage at philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, a news and information hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, and we're online, and we do a live video cast every night at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, baby. because we am where it am at. Dig it?
Yeah.
Now, 1 in 5 admit to urinating in pools, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the big news about that?
I don't know. You know.
Yeah, I'm up to that.
So what? So we pee in the pool. Big deal. No, I'm kidding. 1 in 5 admit to urinating in pools. It's a disgusting habit. If you do it, you're no better than a 3-year-old, so stop, okay? Because I'm going to be in that water, and I'm going to be swimming around in your pee, and you think that's funny? You think it's funny? Do you, bud?
Yeah, frankly, I do. Yeah.
Well, I probably would, too, but... God! I'm just going to go into the water and stand there and urinate in a pool. Anyway, warm weather may be tempting you into the public pool to cool off. That's why a lot of people, I wouldn't go to a public pool, man, if it was 150 degrees out, man, and I needed to cool off or die. I would not go into a public pool.
So you're saying, man, if you're going to die from heat prostrations, or you would or go into a pee pool, you wouldn't do it?
No, I wouldn't.
I'd go into a urine pool. I would too, man. Yeah, are you going to die?
I'm obviously being a little, you know, engaging in a tad bit of hyperbole, but I will tell you, it would have to be something life-threatening like that.
What about a drink of it?
Oh, will you get out of here with the drink of it?
I would. If I was going to die of drowning, or not drown, if I'd going to die, would I not have no water? I'd probably take a sip of the pee. Man, I wouldn't do that. What a freak. Now you're saying I got a sex problem.
Oh, shut up, will you? You must be some kind of... For you guys to sit around and think this stuff up, man. If I was dying of thirst, yeah, I probably would.
Oh, wow, man, you drink pee?
Think about it, man. If you do not have... If you are unable... And I don't even know, it's probably not even safe. It's probably going to kill you, you know?
Yeah, but you wouldn't even be able to keep it down.
Maybe. But if you are dying... Or losing your mind, that's what happens when you don't drink water. You don't just die, you go mad. You see? See what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean you go nuts. I mean you start to lose your mind. That's what happened to those poor men, that SS Indianapolis thing we were watching on the TV, those guys that got sunk by the Japanese freighter, you know? Or not the Japanese submarine.
Yeah, that's what a shark's attack.
Exactly. Those guys, the worst thing that happened to those guys, the sharks were bad. But when the sharks finally, they got a handle on the shark situation, because the sharks are going to come around and go, wait a second, we don't eat humans, and pretty soon they split. I mean, they've killed a lot of guys, but the thing that these guys had to deal with was they had no water. And they were losing their mind. There were guys there watching their friends doing insane things. I read the book on the Indianapolis. I read the survivors' accounts. One guy remembers one of his friends saying, there's an island over there, and I'm going to swim for it.
Was there?
No, there was no island. There was no island. But the guy was saying to his friend, he said, I think there's an island over there. And his friend's like, so what if there is, man? I mean, you know, maybe I can't see it. Maybe it's fogged in. He said, well, I'm going to swim for it. And the guy, this guy had been in the water without, he'd been in the sea without water now for days. And this guy remembers saying, I don't think you're going to be able to swim for any island, man. It's got to be miles and miles. It's got to be hundreds of miles away. I don't see it. He says, no. Don't worry, man. I'm going to go get help. And that dude took off, and that's the last they saw of him.
Why didn't he stop him?
What's he going to do, man?
Yeah, what's he going to do?
What's he going to do? He's going to go run out. Hey, man.
He's not going to run.
Well, what's he going to do, bud? Hey, don't go there. There's no way. That dude would fight him, probably. There's another story from the Indianapolis. These are all very sad stories, bud.
I know.
There's another story from the Indianapolis where there were 3 guys lined up in a row in the water. And I don't know, one of the officers came. I said, what are you guys doing? And the guy in the front said, there's a bed down there and we can, and there's cold water and we're waiting to take our turn. And this dude watched these guys one at a time dive under the water, and that's the last he saw them.
Man, that's a bummer, man.
It is, and now I hear the end of the show music, and so don't we have anything funny to say? Anything at all?
What about the vaginal liquid beads?
Get out of here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. That was funny. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs, make sure that you visit us online at philhendryshow.com. That is philhendryshow.com, baby. We got a podcast coming out tomorrow. Check the link on our homepage. It's all good. It's all there. And don't forget to get your backstage pass. Oh, visit our souvenir shop as well, guys. You know, we have a shop with the Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies, the ball caps, the T-shirts, the shot glasses, which, by the way, I think we're going to be giving away a shot glass on the podcast, and much, much more at philhendryshow.com. Till tomorrow night, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.